Hey, true believers, it's that time you've been waiting for. Gather around your iPod, radio, or whatever you're listening to, for Mitch and John are about to go into the power cosmic. Sit back and listen to comic books, toys, movies, and more with those two guys that have got nothing better to do but talk about the stuff that you love. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wake the neighbors, phone the kids. It's time for the Power Cosmic Podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast, the only podcast fooled by two guys who know more about Marvel Comics than Stan the Man Lee's socks. That's right, you're listening to another fun-filled episode, 30 minutes of pure pleasure, with your host, Mitchell A.S. Halleck, the promoter of the world's greatest Comic-Con that can be found every August at the Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut. Join us this August for Terrific-Con. Now, as always, my sidekick and my friend of Daring Do, the one who writes for Back Issue Magazine, Jack Kirby Collector, and Alter Ego. You can find him every Sunday at the Raynham Flea Market in Raynham, Massachusetts, booth A89-90, where he has the treasures that you remembered as a kid. He's here now, and we're going to talk about a top secret project that you're going to hear about only on the Power Cosmic Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a round of applause to John Cimino.
Woo! Hello, everybody!
All right, John, let's get right to the thing. I'm going to throw 20 questions at you, or something like that, and we're going to talk about a mysterious find that you're about to unveil to the world this Saturday, March 11th.
Yes, 11th.
2017. An item of historical significance, the Holy Grail for Marvel Zombies. Is that a good way to put it?
I would think that would probably be good because Marvel Zombies would probably know. Yes, yes.
All right, John. Question number one. Is this an item that fans have seen recently?
Well, Mitchie, you're jumping the gun. It's going to appear March 11th at the Big Apple Con, don't forget, right? Mackie Carbo's Big Apple Con. That's where we're going to display this.
Yes, but this is something that's come into your possession quite recently, but I'm trying to say, when was the last time it probably saw the light of day?
Ooh, we're talking maybe about 40 years ago it was the last time it was seen in public, and 40 years ago it was long gone. And we just want to throw a little bit in here, Mitch, kind of jumping the gun. This will be displayed at Roy Thomas's booth because it was something from the Roy Thomas archives, which was his closet, lost for 40 years, that we'll be signing comic books, and I'll be with him, and we'll be displaying this thing, yes, yes. And now, Mitch, the 20 questions, or 19 now.
Oh, wow, you've kind of hit it. So it is connected to Rascally Roy Thomas, the former editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics circa early 70s, the heir apparent hand-selected by Stan the Man Lee. Am I not correct?
Good, you're correct. 72, 73, and 74, he was the editor-in-chief.
Yeah, but before that, he was the scribe to many a great comic book heroes. What are some of the heroes that Mr. Thomas is accredited to, John?
Let's be honest here. Next to Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, he has the most enduring characters. He has a who's who. We can just go Carol Danvers.
Luke Cage.
It's going to be a movie. Yes, Carol Danvers. Luke Cage. Ghost Rider.
The Vision. Ultron.
Yeah, Ultron. Adam Warlock.
Oh, my. The list goes. And, like you said, Logan is in the movie theaters as we speak, and Mr. Thomas did have a hand in Wolverine. In fact, thus giving him his name, correct?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mitch. You can throw one, and I'll throw one back at you. Another one Mr. Thomas created.
Oh, well, Red Wolf.
Yeah, how about Triathlon? No, excuse me, the 3D Man.
Oh, John, please, the 3D Man, one of my favorites from Marvel Premiere. I think it was issue number 48, or maybe that was the Ant-Man. Oh, John, you're just full of some great Marvel tales there, may I say.
Here's another one, obscure one, Night Nurse.
Oh, that's right, played by the lovely Rosario Dawson in the Netflix series. John, let's go back to your mysterious package. You've been talking about this package for quite some time on social media. You've hinted at it. We've seen your lovely daughter holding a box that contains this sacred object inside. Have we not, John?
Yes, we have. And I'm going to say that that box has caused the most confusion because I've gotten hundreds and hundreds of emails, literally, from people posting on Facebook, the people sending me stuff, and trying to figure out what it is, because the box is kind of thin that will be sent to me. And I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of people have been thinking it's original artwork. And a lot of people thought it would be the first six pages of The Amazing Spider-Man that Jack Kirby created. But they're incorrect. I'm going to come clean right now and say it is not original artwork, and it's not anything to do with the comic book.
All right, John, you've got me intrigued here now, along with many of our listeners. I'm going to throw this out there. John, is this something that will revolutionize or fundamentally change the way we think of the Marvel Universe? Is it something of that significance? Was it there at the early days of Marvel Comics?
That's well said, Mitchie, because that's exactly what it represents. The early, early days of Marvel. It's an innocent time where they're kind of getting their bearings and putting these new crazy characters on the scene that is beginning to take the world by storm. Because I'll tell you, when this actually was created, they were on the cusp of greatness, but they were not yet there. That's how early it is.
So this is definitely something from the House of Ideas, circa early 60s. Gotcha. Yeah. All right, the next thing. Is this something that is in color? We already said it's not black and white artwork, but does it have color?
Yes, and it has beautiful, better color than I would ever think possible. But it has beautiful, beautiful color, yes.
Is this something that has been recreated since the time it's appeared, or is this one of a kind?
Well, this particular item is one of a kind. It was the only one, the only one ever made. But periodically after that, there have been different versions. And as they say, imitated but never duplicated.
Interesting. Is this item that we discuss and that we are about to see, is this something that you have held in your hand, and does it have some substantial weight to it?
Yes, I have held it in my hand, and I'm going to be honest with you. Since he got it, it has never left his household, and it's never left him. So when I received it back in January of 2017, it was definitely a huge thing, because this just shows my relationship with Mr. Thomas in abundance, because he relinquished that item and entrusted me with it, and that's a big deal. And I must say, Dan Thomas was a big culprit in that, too.
I know the people out there that listen to this show, all three or four of them, are definitely on the edge of their seat right now. And again,
They're rabid listeners anyway, so they're always on their edge of the seat.
I'll tell you, John, the power of fate is working against us tonight. Because, as we know, this is the second time you and I have tried to record this monumental, groundbreaking episode. And the other ironic thing is I'm looking down at my phone, and it only has 7% charge left. So this is not a good day here at the Power Cosmic. What is happening to us, John?
Yeah, Mitch, we should throw that out there that for some reason we have so much Power Cosmic in our podcast that you saved it. It was a corrupted file.
I saved it yesterday morning. And I should have quickly uploaded it to the website and put it on Tuesday like we normally do. But I was a little busy with ticket sales for Terrificon, so I held off. And I woke up this morning on Wednesday to put the file up, and it was miraculously gone into the negative zone, never to be seen again. So we are doing this for the second time.
And speaking of Terrificon, this particular item will be on display at Terrificon in Auden. And what makes it so significant, because I don't think Tom, I can give a nice big hint here, as I said that it wasn't original art or anything. It has to do with Spider-Man. Let's just throw it out there. It has to do with Spider-Man, and in August, at Terrificon, it's going to be Spider-Man's 55th anniversary on that month.
Yes.
So what a way to display this legendary, legendary piece of this wall, of the Marvel wall crawler at Terrificon.
As we all know, my show is dedicated to the artists and the writers of our love of comic books. So we will have Mr. Roy Thomas in the house there. He could talk about this particular item. He's going to be joined by many other Marvel legends and DC greats as well. So if you're into a true Comic Con, forget the rest. Go to the best, Terrificon.
And talking to Roy, too, I told him that when he does one of your panels on one of the, either Friday or Saturday, and I think you guys are going to have a Spider-Man panel.
Correct, yes.
You can have this there as well.
Like I said, it might be worth the trip. If you live in the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and you're listening to this, and you cannot make it to the Big Apple Comic-Con by our friend Mike Carbo, make sure you set aside this August 18th, 19th, and 20th, though Roy will only be there on the 18th and 19th, to come and look at this item and listen to Mr. Thomas. And, you know, you do yourself a disservice if you say you're a comic book fan and you don't come to Terrificon. That's all I got to say.
And speaking of this weekend at the Big Apple Con, New York Post is putting out an article on this particular item, and me and Roy Thomas, in conjunction with the show, because it's going to be first displayed at the show. And what's great about this is Stan Lee's going to be there, and hopefully we can get a picture of Stan Lee with Roy Thomas with this item, because another hint saying that it's going to bring everything full circle. And let me just leave it at that, because Mr. Thomas and Mr. Lee have known about this thing, and having them taking a picture with this will be a great piece of Marvel history. And so I don't know right now, currently, if it's going to be the article's coming out on Friday or Saturday. Our buddy Reed Tucker, who's writing the article, told me he just doesn't know exactly when. I'm hoping on Friday, but he doesn't know.
I tell you, John, as one who does know the secret of what's in this package, I can tell you, I just don't know how fans are going to react to it. I know old-time Marvel fans will be in shock and awe, because this is something that has been lost in time, never to be found again. People probably thought it was gone, and we'd never see such a thing. So the fact that you're bringing it to the light of day just really connects us with the past there, and I think you're doing yourself a service. Or a service to all fans out there for uncovering this lost artifact.
Well, that was the point me and the Thomases discussed. And I must say this. We wanted to show the fans before the big news is on this, is if anybody out there, all of you out there read that article, I mean that post I put up on Facebook, the picture with my daughter, I said a lucky fan, especially a lucky fan, will love this, because the purpose of this item is that at the end of the year, we're going to put it on auction to see what we can go for. And some lucky fan out there, and let's just say a big-time Marvel collector, comic collector, Spider-Man collector, old school, bullpen collector, it's definitely a Marvel relic that somebody's going to want to enjoy, that we're going to put it on auction and see what happens.
I would say, John, this is probably the whole story behind this and the actual unveiling on Saturday is truly a tale to astonish.
A tale to astonish. But let's make it a tale to suspense, because you know those fans are going to be going nuts for this Marvel premiere.
Are you saying that we're going to have a Marvel spotlight on this object?
Yeah, and it's going to cause so much of a ruckus you would think it would be Marvel super action.
Oh, and plus the fact that you're going to have Stan and Roy there, one would almost say it's a Marvel 2-in-1.
You may call it a 2-in-1, but if you could put Spider-Man, Stan Lee, and Roy together, that's a Marvel team-up of all of heroic proportion.
Oh, no, it's beyond that. I would say it is something that two-fisted tails. That's what I'm thinking.
Mitch, throwing that at me, it makes you think that you're coming out of like a jungle action or something, like you're in the Himalayas or
where monsters dwell, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yes. All I know, John, is that this is the creators of the world's greatest comics, some ultimate fantasy masterpieces, definitely going to gather some, would you say, Marvel fanfare?
That was so mine. I would actually say that some people might see it and scratch their head and think it was there just in some weird, strange tale or something like that.
Beyond that, John, I would say this is truly a journey into mystery.
Absolutely. And you know what, Mitch, now to jump companies here, you know, me and you put driving up in Mr. Keith Gleason of Plastic City Comic Con, driving up there early to get there on time for that show is definitely something only the brave and the bold can do.
Oh, beyond that, John, this whole item that you have and what we've talked about and never dreamed of as little kids that we'd be in the presence of Stan Lee and Roy Thomas with this particular item, one would say it's almost an amazing adult fantasy.
Yes, or it might be because we try so hard, it could be our fighting forces.
Yeah, and God knows we hope that the evil forces out there don't try to stop us, because you and I have both encountered at these Comic Cons, we'd say, some weird war tales, no?
Yeah, we definitely have some weird war tales. But, that's a tough one.
Well, John, right, it's a good thing you know how to defend yourself, because I'm always impressed by your deadly hands of kung fu. Come on, you got to have something.
I believe you, yeah. I had a ton, but what was the problem?
I don't know, John. You make me think of Not Brand Ugh sometimes.
That was actually pretty good, Not Brand Ugh. But you know what? You're making me feel bad, and when you make me feel bad, and you're already bad, and I'm bad now, it becomes like a supervillain team-up, and I don't know if we want that to happen.
No, John. But I got to say, and you know, I've known you for quite some time, and I hate to get a little personal, John, but will you be bringing your giant-sized man thing to the show?
Yeah, I might be bringing the giant-sized man thing. And you know what? I'm going to throw a little bit more off here, because if I do bring that, it might be a Marvel's greatest superhero battles. And if that happens, you know, then that's not a good thing.
Well, I hope our friend Chris Giarrusso was there in his mini Marvel, but I don't think he is. But if he was there, you and I would stand on a table and shout out, "Bring on the bad guys."
Yes, we would, and hopefully the Marvel women would be there too, and then they could show us, they could shout that with us.
Yeah, it's amazing that we'll be there with the origins of Marvel Comics. In fact, if Stan Lee had children, and Roy if had children, they'd be the next generation. They could almost be the sons of origins of Marvel Comics.
You so took that away from me. You so took that away. Because I was going to come with that. But you know what? If that happens, and then maybe we get hungry because we know the little Mitchie and you would get hungry, instead of going out, maybe we can get together with Ming Chen and pick up something from the Mighty Marvel Superheroes cookbook and then make something that we can all enjoy.
Well, I've been hitting the food pretty good lately. I think I might have to try the Mighty Marvel fitness book and get back into Hulk fighting shape.
Right. That'd be good, but if you were really serious about it, you would have picked the Mighty Mary Marvel Strength and Fitness book instead.
Yeah, well, you know I'm trying. Maybe I'll pick up the Marvel Tryout book.
Oh, yeah, you're trying, but you know what will happen if you keep trying? Then Stan Lee will present you with the Marvel mazes to drive you mad with, and then you won't know where you're going, what you're doing, and what's going to happen.
Oh, as long as I can put it up on the wall, almost like a Mighty Marvel pinup book.
Oh, that's true. But and if you do put it on the wall, that'll be like the Marvel superheroes book. That'd be like a book of Marvel superheroes, if you know what I mean.
I think I do know what you mean. It's almost like oh, a combination of, oh God, do they have Western books? I think I'm out. Enough said. I'm done. I think we've named every single title. And if everybody out there, if we've missed a couple, Scott Martin and that other guy we met, write us a post and tell us which Marvel, what would you call these, thematic books, what, generic themes? Which ones have we missed?
Well, I'll tell you this. If somebody's going to put it out there, man, just give us a title. Don't give us a Marvel tale of why we missed it. Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I got nothing. Wait a minute. Well, Tomb of Dracula. No. We're Monsters. Well, no. There was some monster book I can't think of that came out in the early 70s.
Well, I hope you don't say monster, because I know how you don't like to have, like, to be surprised if you want a Marvel Thrillers.
Oh, that's it. Marvel. There you go. It was Marvel Thrillers. I knew it. I knew there was another one out there. Marvel Collector's Items.
No. Marvel Collector's Items Classics.
Darn it! Isn't this sad? I'm so glad we decided to do this all over again, because the energy that's flowing through the Power Cosmic is just something. Hey, let's switch gears. Logan opened up this week. I saw it last week. I reviewed it on the radio. I said it was my favorite Wolverine movie ever, maybe next to X-Men 2. I thought that was a good one. But Hugh Jackman's final appearance, thoroughly enjoyable. I hope he doesn't come back, because it would just, you know, water this whole movie down. I hope this is the final bell for him. What did you think of the picture?
I'll tell you this. That little girl, whoever she was perfect for the role. I was very impressed by her acting. Like, she was, like, you believed her. Like, and she was with two heavyweights there, Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I was really enthralled by her. How good she was. And then, you know, with the claws and, like, she kicked butt. I liked it, too. I've read a lot of posts out there about people saying it was the greatest movie.
X-Men movie.
Yeah, well, X-Men movie. I'm going to have to take a peg down at that. I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought it was gritty. I thought it was not a conventional comic book movie at all. But I think I would balk a little bit on that being the best. You know, it did definitely pull on your little heartstrings there, and you felt bad. But what was that? Not to throw out a spoiler here, but when they were fighting, what was that? A young Wolverine, or was that X-24?
Was Wolverine's clone. Somehow they grew a full adult version of Wolverine. I was confused too, because I'm like, well, how come the rest are just kids and this one's an adult?
The thing is, a character. He's a character in the comic books. There's a Wolverine clone out there.
Oh, that's not his son with the D, is it?
Something like that. Remember he was...
Darlock or something?
Dakarin? Something like that?
Dakin? Dakarin, yeah.
We could be wrong, because I haven't read a
Yeah, comic. No, I started falling out of X-Men pretty much, I don't know. I used to read all the Claremont, the Byrne, the Smith, the Johnny Romita Jr., and then it got to be... Then Jim Lee, I was following it in the early 90s, and then it just got to be too convoluted. I did try picking up a couple years ago, and Brian Michael Bendis went back, and he made the original X-Men team come through time and meet the present day X-Men, and it was okay for a while, but then that even got... There's too many X-Men books. That's what happened to me. I couldn't follow them all, you know? I tried.
Well, Mick, speaking of contemporary comics, as we're going into, what do you think about the Steve Rogers as Captain America coming back with Note the Hail Hydra stuff?
I just picked that up today. It's Wednesday. I just picked up my comics. I have the latest Captain America. I do believe it's leading into their new event book called The Secret Empire, right?
No, but they're bringing all the characters back.
Yeah.
And they're going to be calling the legacy. They're not going to be number one. They're not revamping it. They're going to give them what they called, I believe, the legacy numbers. So it's going to be one of those things that all those comics that they're after. And so, like, let's just say Captain America is going to be 600 and something. I don't know, whatever it would be. And the Hulk is... So
Oh, well, yeah, DC did that a couple years ago with Batman and Superman. They put them back so that, I mean, they're almost,
yeah. That. Action Comics is at 900.
Yeah, they're closing in on 1,000. It'll be something to see, because as a kid, I remember we would always go, imagine if they ever get to be, like, you know, a couple hundred, or imagine 1,000. So it's kind of cool to see that.
Right. But what do you think about that, Mitch, them coming back?
The numbering or the original heroes?
The original heroes.
About damn time. I think this last couple years will be just thrown away as the forgotten years, because it's almost like that Heroes Reborn stuff they did in the 90s that no one talks about anymore. Remember when they relaunched it with Jim Lee?
This one's even worse because, you know, they made the PC millennial...
Yeah. You've been rallying on about that a lot. So you'll be happy. I think it's great because when you know, you close your eyes, you think of the superheroes. It's the ones you grew up with, not the ones that happened the last couple of years. And let's be honest, the people walking into that store are not 8-year-old kids. They're 40, 50-year-old gentlemen, mostly, and they want to read the stuff they read as a kid. Right?
I agree. But, I think those new characters are just so out of touch. People just don't get it. They tried to push that down your throat. They tried to give it. It just didn't work. And now, after I don't know how many years, DC outselling Marvel.
Yeah.
And because DC brought back the regular characters. You know what? You can have bad stories but good characters, and it still works than bad stories and bad characters. You know, it's still better than...
Yeah. I actually came home tonight and... picked up an issue of Back Issue magazine. I don't know if you have an article on this one. It's got Moon Knight on the cover. It's about Doug Mensch.
I do get them sent to me, and I did get that issue.
Yeah.
I did. It came in the mail. No, I don't have an article in there. I'm going to actually be in the next one. I'm actually going to be in the
Back Issue or Kirby Collector?
Back Issue. I'm going to be in the next, the 96, I think it is. But I'm going to be just in the back talk. I have I don't have an article, but I'm just going to be answering a big question.
Oh, all right. Well, fans could look forward to seeing that. I mean, if you can't get it to your local comic book store, you could always go to tomorrow.com. Just Google it, and I believe you can get every issue electronically. Can't you, John?
Yes, you can. Yeah, you can. And it's almost like half price. You can get a digital download.
And we might have, I believe we have one of the gentlemen at the book, Michael Urie, scheduled to come to Terrific Con this year. Again, a huge comic historian. What's that?
Mr. Urie. And what Mr. Urie makes up for, a lot of people out there might not know him, but obviously he's the editor of Back Issue magazine, and he was on Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He worked in the field,
for many years. But he is one of the nicest, most professional, and great guys out there. And he just had a book release from Tomorrow's, which is called Superhero Agoga.
I saw that. Yeah, it looks good. I saw that on the back cover.
I'm just going to throw this out there. The unfortunate thing is, I was supposed to be in that book, but I was cut to the cut. I was cut, and I was thrown to the on the cutting room floor because they had to. Obviously, some of the book had to be trimmed, and my story of Ben Cooper's Spider-Man story, and through my perspective, was supposed to be in there.
Oh, all right. Well, next time. Well, speaking of next time, John, we've almost come up to 30 minutes. My phone is down to 4%, and I promise you I'm going to save this as we're done and post it post-haste so people can get a hold of the latest issue. What should we title this one, John?
I don't know. Merry Marvel Madness?
How about What's in the Box?
Yeah, What's in the Box is good. And let's just throw this out there, because when we put this up, we're going to be going, if anybody can make it down to the Big Apple Con, come by. Mitch, you'll be there with Keith Lee from Plastic City, and you'll have your booths with Terrific Con showing, passing out flyers.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, shaking hands. And I'll be with Mr. Thomas and Miss What's in the Box.
Yeah, the big reveal. And next week we'll follow up with reactions to it, and we'll have a full update for you on the Power Cosmic podcast, our first ever sequel.
And our first ever sequel, and we'll be doing it probably live there, correct?
Sure, why not?
Because I know Mr. Thomas has two panels.
Yeah.
On one day he's got two panels. So throwing this out there really quick. If you want Roy's autograph and give to, he doesn't charge, give to, the, but he gives, he donates, he would love you to donate or give a gratitude to the
Hero Initiative.
Hero Initiative, but he's got two panels going on, so he might be running up and down. So if you see him there, get in line because it's going to be nuts.
It is indeed. All right, John, as we always say at the end of this, and literally that's it because it's almost out of power here. How do we end each show, John?
Well, you got to say that correctly. It's almost out of the power cosmic.
It's almost, yeah, we've almost exhausted all our unstable molecules on this week's episode.
Yeah, unstable. That, before we end, that was a great. Did Stanley come up with that?
Of course he did.
That was fan-frickin-tastic. It was such a great way to explain how the jacket would stretch.
It's a cure-all. Yeah, it's a cure-all.
Yeah, that was
it was genius. It was pure genius. Excelsior.
That was better than Pym Particles, which I thought.
Pym Particles, yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's all magic. It's all magic. Anyway, so how do we end it?
That's that.
And that's that. Look at that. 30.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.